Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are the head of this church, Lord, and that all things, Lord, that are in our hearts is because you placed them there. We thank you, Lord, for it just seems as the next few days we're going to be celebrating a 4th of July. Lord, thank you for this country. Thank you, Lord, that that we can bring honor, Lord, in our hearts, even for our country, Lord. And so, Lord, we bless what you're doing. And this day, Lord, may your spirit just flow in this church, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts, Lord, that we would not be just sitting and waiting for something, Lord, because you're here already. So may your joy, your peace, whatever it is, Lord, that each one of us needs for this day, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you meet us where we are. We praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Now we stay standing for the next.
There's somebody here today that God just wants you to know, just take the leap. It's like I have this image of like a diving board. You know, sometimes when you get up there, right, the best thing to do is just take the dive, because going all the way back down, climbing all the way back down the stairs, right? But I have this, it's like this image of you just showing, just leaping in and letting the water like engulf you, right? See, we can do this. We can do this thing where when God, even prior to God even telling us something that he has for us, it's maybe just us who's saying, I don't know if he can do it. I don't know if he's working it. I don't know if I see anything happening. I don't know if I do this, what my life's going to look like. I don't know if I take this jump, if things are going to turn out good or if they're going to turn out bad. I don't know. We do this thing in our mind, right? And I can really sense it, that somebody's having like this battle of like, I don't know. I just don't know if I should do this thing or not. And I don't know what the thing is. But I do have a major sense of God just saying, just take the leap. Just do it. And I'll show you what I have for you. I'll carry you. I'll take care of you. I'll give you everything you need. But you gotta take the leap. See, just like this song's telling us, now that I'm looking at the song list, and I didn't know this during the week, I just knew God was really speaking through them. But now looking at this song list, we went through, I'll take you at your word, right? If you said it, I'll believe it, right? To let my Jesus change your life. Let him show you what he's gonna do. Yeah. To, he is holy forever. That everything he's got for us, it's a continuing role of just goodness in our life, which in itself is enough to just get excited about, right? To, by your stripes I am healed, with one touch I'm made whole. You have spoken and I know that it is so. See, faith is exactly that, right? Taking a leap when you don't know what the next step is. Stepping out when you don't know what's coming. But I guarantee you, just like that second song we sang, because I could really feel, I had goosebumps the whole time we sang it. God will change your life in ways that you don't even know. Oh gosh. In ways you can't even understand if you would just finally let go and do it. Sometimes the surrender is just so important in our life. The ability to finally stop worrying about our, what we think is our pride, what we think is things we need, things we have to have, things we feel like we can't let that go. There's no way I could do without it. Allowing ourselves to realize that there is nothing, absolutely nothing better than what God can do for us and what He can give us is a powerful thing in our life. Surrendering every part, not just the parts you want to give, not just some here and there, but the whole thing. Saying, here it is. I'm giving it all. I'm laying it all out. And I'm going to let you work what you want to work. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. See, when we surrender and allow Him to take it on and it become His thing, is when we start to operate in the kingdom, because now we're letting Him do it, not us. Now we're giving it up, right? It's the reason why the Bible tells us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's not because all of your problems suddenly magically go away. It's because when you start allowing Him to move in your life and you're spending time with Him, you begin to see all of these things that you're reaping from it. And it's the peace that passes all understanding, the joy, all of the things that He's promised to give you are real promises. But you gotta learn to let it go. Here it is. Regardless of how much it hurts, how hard it is, or how difficult the road, if you let it go, I guarantee you'll begin to see that it's not as difficult as you made it in your mind when you're allowing Him to do it for you. Because He knows what you need. Even now, before you've let it go, He knows what you need. And He's ready.
Can I speak to all the recovering perfectionists? I was the perfectionist. I am now a recovering perfectionist. And I wanted to fix it. You know, I didn't have any control over my life, so I wanted control, you know. And so I wanted to fix everything, and I wanted to control it all. And yes, I had faith. I trusted. I trusted, and I have faith, but I kept getting in the way, you know? And I wanted to fix it, and I was starting to fall apart. It was just too much. It's just, we can't do it ourselves. It's not in our strength. It's Christ through us. And you know, all of a sudden I got like my first C and I got my first D and the house was falling apart and, you know, my little world was crashing to a, you know, it was falling apart. And sometimes it takes those big storms for us to get out of our own way and to let go and to let God, because we're not in charge. We're not in charge. We don't have to fix it. It's God's battles. And once I got out of my own way and I let the Spirit, praise God, praise God. There's a peace that passes all understanding. And just put Him in charge. Don't let God be your co-pilot. Let God be your pilot. You be the co-pilot. Just let go and let God. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get enough credit. We believe in God. God. Many, many, many believe in Jesus, but then we just kind of stop before Pentecost. And it's the Holy Spirit that is our strength. And the Holy Spirit is what fills us up and charges us up. And praise God, just let God.
Kathy, pretty amazing. You talked about let go and let God. When I first came to the Lord in April of 1995, I gave my heart to the Lord in April of 1995, and the theme of that weekend was let go and let God. And then also the theme of that weekend was butterflies. Ever since that weekend, butterflies have meant so much to me ever since that weekend of 1995. Anyway, after you shared that, I had to share that part. But I've been dealing with a cough for now almost a year. I'm thankful that I got an answer from the doctor, and we're moving forward. But the thing that I'm moving forward with, which I speak often as I can, as the Holy Spirit brings me utterance to speak, but which is basically on a daily basis, is by his stripes I am healed. With one touch I'm made whole. You've spoken and I know that it is so. Now, our healing doesn't always come in our time. So what this cough is teaching me, and this cough is also having an effect on my voice, is that it's teaching me patience, perseverance, endurance. Just like when we work out, you know, endurance. It's the life in Christ is endurance, right? It's going forward, not going back. Even though I'm almost on a year of this cough, I'm still going forward, knowing that by his stripes I'm healed. And but patience and endurance is basically what I'm learning from it all. So I'm giving God, I'm surrendering, giving this cough to the Lord. Time, he's going to heal it. Not my time, his time. So I have faith. I walk in faith. The thing I have to emphasize is through this coughing, I haven't asked my husband, right? I have not complained. I have not cried. I have not, woe is me. None of that. I'm just waiting on the Lord. In Jesus' name.
I want to share something. Is it on? Yeah. I want to share something that the Lord put on my heart this week. And it's about the beauty of unity. I guess as we've been reaching out and meeting more people, and I will always look on this side and I'm like, okay, I see like Tommy and his family, but like I don't know Tommy and his family, or I see Rick, and we've been here a long time, and I've been introduced to the beauty and unity recently, and I don't exactly know what all that means, but I can feel the love of God on my heart. And so I just want to encourage us all to maybe change chairs or just reach out to each other a little more. This last week, like Eva and I, we said hello to each other during the week, and it was beautiful. And so there's a beauty in unity, and I just want to encourage us all to step into it, whatever it is, because it's beautiful. And you know, we see you guys, Mercy, and I don't really know you guys, you know, but we're all here. And so I just want to extend invitations to know you all more. And thank you.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. I hope you can hear me okay. That song spoke to me today because I do have something to thank the Lord for. My daughter had been given a diagnosis of epilepsy, and my nephew died of epilepsy about 20 years ago. So when she was given the diagnosis, it made me very anxious because I feared for her life. I feared that I was gonna lose her. Just Wednesday of this week, she had a test. And my daughter, she's known the Lord for a long time. She was baptized when she was a teenager. Thanks to her youth pastor, she has walked in his steps. She knows that she's not to claim any infirmity. She never claimed it. She never accepted it. The doctor said, "You have epilepsy." She said, "No, my God says I don't have anything." She never took the medication. On Wednesday, the same day that it was the anniversary of my nephew's passing away, she got the results. The new results said that she does not have epilepsy. And I thank God that one day she made the decision to follow the Lord. And because of her, I have walked in his steps as much as I can. You know, we all have our faults. You know, we fail. But I am thankful that the Lord has given her that affirmation that she does not have this illness that she never claimed, that she never accepted, and she never took any medication for. So thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah. How many of you know? How many of you know if God said it? It's so. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. How many know that he is faithful to his word?
Amen.
His word is settled in heaven. Can you say amen to that? If he says you're healed, guess what? Yeah, you're healed. If he says you're whole, guess what? You're whole. Hallelujah. If he says something, you are. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you are glad of that? How many of you are glad that his word is always true? It's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. His name, the word, his name, we call his name Jesus. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you glad of that?
Yes.
Are you glad you're on a foundation?
Yes.
Are you glad you're on a rock?
Yes.
A foundation, a firm foundation. That what he says is so. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not a man that he should lie.
No.
Neither is he a son of man that he should repent of the things that he said to us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What he said is so. Whatever he says, whatever promise you find in the word of God for yourself, can you say amen?
Amen.
It's for you. It's your promise.
Yes.
You can bank your life on it. You can set your life on it. You can bet your life on it. Can you say amen? How many are betting people? Yeah. Come on, man. Whatever God says. The word of the Lord. It will endure forever.
Yes.
Tell me you believe that. Do you believe it? That the word of the Lord will endure forever. Man is like grass. Is that right? Grows up real nice. As soon as the sun hits it, it fades away. Gets a little weak and... But the word of the Lord... It will endure forever. And if that word is in your heart, let me just say this to you. You are an eternal creation. Can you say amen to that? God created you to be eternal. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Hallelujah. It's time we lay hold on the truth. Can you say amen? Are you glad you're in a place where you can hear truth? Hallelujah. I desire truth myself. I said, Lord, I'm going to place myself at your feet, if you will, that I might hear these things that you have said, spoken to your body, to the church, to the prophets, that I might hear those things and understand them well. How many want to understand well?
Yes.
Is that in your heart to understand well? Or is it just, is it in your heart, or is it just you that you just hear and you don't pay no much attention to it? You just hear it. It's okay. You pick what you want. Whatever. Can I tell you, it's important that you take the whole counsel of God and hold to it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. How many of you know God deserves honor and glory?
Amen.
He deserves honor and glory. He deserves to be honored by his people. He deserves to be glorified. Because he's a great God. Lord, we give you honor this morning just for who you are. We honor you, Father. Great are you, Lord, and worthy to be praised. Great are you. Father, we honor you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, guys. Hey, I was in service last Saturday and at a funeral. I spoke about it last week, but there was something about the honor guard that came up to present the flag to the widow. And my friend Frank, when there was something about those guys that when they saluted his picture and his flag, and then when they saluted each other, and then when they saluted his widow, there was something about the salutes that I just couldn't. I said, Lord, what are you saying? The presence of God came on me so strong. I said, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying to me, Lord? I need to know what you're saying. God, what are you saying? And God didn't answer me. Can you know, have ever been like that with anybody where, man, you sense his presence, you wonder what's happening, what's going on, and yet he's not saying nothing to you. But he was saying something to me. He was showing me something. He was declaring something in my life. And it's very important to me. And this week, as I was, Friday, as I began to move into the Word of God and look for God, what God was saying to the body of Christ this weekend, honor was one of those things that came very strongly upon me. And I realized that what God was talking to me about on that day was honor. Honor. Ooh. Them salutes were... Maybe some of those color guards, they didn't know Frank personally like I did. But there was something about who he was as a Marine when they saluted. They were giving honor. That's why they call him an honor guard. Honor. And God began to speak to me Friday night. He says, speak to them about the honor that's due to my name. How many know there's honor due to his name? We need to honor him. Hallelujah. In our thought processes and what we do, we need to honor him. We need to live our life. The Bible says to live it circumspectly or as in a way that honors the Lord our God. Can you say amen to that? Honoring God in all things. Hallelujah. If you will, could you open your Bibles to it's going to be Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read this right off, man, because this is our key verse for this sermon. The key verse is a lot of times we call it the power verse, but I don't know, for whatever reason, the Lord has been, he's been giving me key verses. Because I don't know if you'll get this or not, but we used to call it a power verse because I want power to go to every person in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I desire that they walk in power. Is that okay with you? But God's began to talk to me. He said, give them a key verse. Henry, give them a key verse. Okay. Why would he want to give us a key verse? Because he said in a place, he says, behold, I give to you the keys to the kingdom. These are key verses. These are verses that will open something, if you will, in your heart. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, okay. Some of you say, no, that's not okay. Well, that's okay. But listen, here's the key verse for today. It's John chapter 5, verse 23. Thank you, Terry. That all men should honor the Son. Amen? Even as they honor the Father. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. How about his Son? Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Him too. Sometimes they don't give the Son the honor. Can I tell you this? That the Father gives the Son. The Father pours out his honor on his Son. And that's why he said all men should honor the Son, even when they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has what? Sent him. Honor to the Lord. Giving honor to him. Oh, man. I will tell you, there's something about when I say honor, it seems to just rip through me. Whew. So if I say it a lot today, hey, it's okay. Is that right? Because we're talking about honor. Yeah. Honoring the Father, our Father, which is in heaven. How many know? Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come, that his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. The exact way in heaven we want it here on earth. Can you say amen to that? He's taught us that. I've learned that all my life. I think I learned that when I was 9 or 8 years old in the Catholic Church. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I never realized what I was saying. That it would be here on earth just like it is in heaven. Because that's what he designed it for. This earth was designed to be a reflection of heaven. Can you say amen? Do you know that? John, Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, I like what they say. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. How many of you wash your hands before you eat? That's a good practice. It really is.
Yes.
It really is. Yeah. You never know where your hands have been. I mean, isn't that true?
Yes.
You really don't know where your hands have been. Is that crazy? I could be touching this chair, and there could have been somebody else that had touched that chair and had been petting cats or whatever. Is that right, Steve? Yeah. Petting goats. So you really don't know where your hands have been. Is that right? So after today, we're going to have the cleanest hands in town. Is that right? Come on. Praise God. Wash your hands. Come on, y'all. Yeah. So he says this. He says, why don't they do what the commandments of the Father? He says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, listen to what he says. Why do you also transgress a commandment of God because of your tradition? Jesus is going after traditions. Can you say amen to that? He's been going after traditions most of the time because the traditions are generally built by and designed by men. And a lot of times these traditions get in the way of what God is trying to tell us. And we have to be watchful for that. He says, for God commanded saying, honor your father and your mother. Is that true?
Yep.
God did say that. He said, honor your mom and your dad. And he who curses mom or dad, father or mother, let him be what?
Put to death.
Come on now.
Put to death.
Is that right? Is that strong? Where's the teenagers when you need them? Amen? Come on, kids. You want to die? No, but seriously, he says in another place that they might live a long and long life. Is that right? Because they honor their mom and their dad.
Yeah.
It's important to honor your mother and your father. Is that right?
Yeah.
But you say, so Jesus, he's coming after their traditions. He said, but you say, whosoever says to his father or mother, Well, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. What he's saying is that, you know what, you need something, mom and dad? Yeah, well, what happened is what I could give you, I gave it to God. So actually what they were doing was releasing themselves from the commandment of God to honor the mom and the dad. How many of you know we're supposed to take care of our parents? How many know your parents probably took care of you? Maybe not everybody. Maybe some folks had troubled households. A lot of times we have troubled households because we don't understand the word of God. We don't understand what God is saying to mankind. Is that right? But he says, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not, Jesus is reprimanding him, he need not honor his father or mother. Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, is that right? Hypocrites. Listen to what he tells them, why they're hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me, is what he says. Their heart's far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Oh. Oh, man. Ooh, I'm feeling this one. He's talking about honor, honoring the parents, honor. But you see, they're missing the honor that they need to be giving to God by discounting his commandment. His commandment was to honor your mother and father, but they were paying off. They were paying whatever they did to God and saying, well, that was good enough. I don't have to honor my mother and my father. And Jesus is calling them on it. That honor not only was disrespecting the mom and the dad, but it was also disrespecting or dishonoring the God that gave the commandment. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You see that? God, one thing I never want to have is a distant heart from the Lord. He says they honor me with their lips. And with their mouth. But their heart is far from me. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Do you see that? We talked Sunday to Sunday is yesterday to me. Last Sunday we talked about, what to bring it up, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter. We brought up the where God said, listen to me. Is that right? Give ear, O heavens, give ear, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. And he says this, my doctrine, can you say amen?
Amen.
His doctrine will drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew. And as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers upon the grass. His teaching, that's what doctrines are. His teaching. And God says, listen to me and you'll know my doctrine. Jesus told the Pharisees, he that is of God will know the teaching. He will know the doctrine. That's what he was telling the Pharisees. The Pharisees are all, what is with you, bro? You're not following the traditions that men have, that we have. God, Jesus, I don't care about your traditions. I'm changing your traditions. Can you say amen to that? I was brought up where I could not eat meat on Friday. Anybody in here do that? Man. It's like Reuben told me one day. He went in with a big old beef burrito on a Friday. No, I'm sorry. It was a friend of his went in with a big beef burrito. And Reuben's sitting there looking at him. He goes, dude, I thought you were a Catholic. He goes, oh, man, I forgot. Here, I'll eat that. Yeah. He said, I'll take that burrito. Let me have it. Can I tell you the traditions of men, we better be careful of. Is that okay? You need to listen to the doctrine that comes from God and Him alone. I could be telling you a bunch of malarkey. Can you say amen to that? That's why you need to test what I say. That's why you need to confirm the things that you're hearing. Because if I was anything I know, I don't want a distant heart from God. I want to tell you everything that God is telling me. Because that's why He placed me here. Because I went through something that He taught me. You speak what I tell you to speak. So we need to be careful, if you will, for these things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God deserves the honor and the glory. Is that all right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you guys remember what the rule is for truth? What is the rule for finding out what's right or wrong in the Word of God? What's the rule? Anybody? Can you 2 Corinthians? Chapter 13 says this. The apostle says this, and it's actually out of the Old Testament, says this. This is the third time I'm coming to you. He's telling them. But then he says this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. Is that okay? So if somebody tells you something, and you go, well, that don't quite sound right. You go to the Word of God, and you allow the Holy Spirit to bring witnesses up. Is that okay? Witnesses are His Word. They're witnesses for what He's saying as truth. Can you say amen? I hope I'm not losing you in this thing, but one thing I am telling you is that you need to listen to what God and His Word says. It's important. It's important for the body of Christ to be one with God. We're not to be all scattered out like this one believes that, this one believes that, that one over there believes that, this one believes that over there. Jesus prayed that they all might be one as the Father is one. And there's only one thing on the earth that's going to bring all these people together to become one. That's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. That's His job. That's what He's doing today. So test the words. Test the words that you hear me say. Test the words that you say, you hear anybody else say. Test them. Allow the Word of God to become one. David said it this way, your testimonies are my counselors. Is that okay? Let the words of God be your counselor. Let the Bible be your counselor. Is that okay? I want to talk a little bit more about honor. I want to show you one of the greatest pictures that we have of honor is in the life of David and Saul. Amen? Do you guys know that? Yeah. So I'm going to go to Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Samuel. Are you guys hungry? I am. I'm hungry for the Word of God. I'm hungry that God will serve up something nice. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And something good. Amen. Hallelujah. God, give me some good. God, give me some fresh bread. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, fresh bread. Come on, I want some fresh bread, God. Hallelujah. I don't want leftovers. I don't want old stuff. I want new stuff. I want fresh bread. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 24. It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there where there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of that cave. And the men of David said to him, check it out. Behold, the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it shall seem good to thee. And David arose, and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe secretly. Privily means secretly. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him. His heart, not his mind, is that right? It wasn't something that came out of his mind, it was his heart. It went after him. That word smote, it hit him. Because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. He's his enemy, is that right? God has delivered him into your hand, David. Kill him. David says, no. So David stayed or restrained his servants with these words and allowed them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. David arose afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Folks, this is incredible. Can you say amen to that? This is David's heart. David's heart. I will honor who the Lord has anointed. I will honor the king. Huh. David said to Saul, where hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeks your hurt? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And some, meaning his men, bade me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord, against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon you. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon you. After whom is the king of Israel come out, and after whom do you pursue? After a dead dog, yea, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of your hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Thou hast showed this day how that you have dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. swear to me now, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my seed after me, and thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. Here is a very beautiful picture of honor. Not only honoring the king when David saw, but also honoring the Lord who had positioned him as king. Is that good?
Amen.
There is honor due to what God has done. Is that okay? Praise God. Yeah, it's okay. What was the difference between Saul and David? What made the difference between Saul and David? Before we take you to 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. This is after that Samuel had told Saul to wait for him so they could sacrifice. Saul saw the armies getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and he says, Samuel's not here. He must have fallen down someplace, probably fell off a cliff. Let's go ahead and do the sacrifice. And as soon as they had finished sacrificing, guess who shows up? Samuel shows up, and he asks him, what have you done? What have you done? And this is what Samuel tells him. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not only kept the command, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded you. For now would he have established your kingdom of Israel forever. Do you see that that listening to the word of God and holding to the commandments of God and knowing what God is saying to you establishes you in whatever you're doing? Can you say amen? He desires to establish you as a man and woman of God in your place where you're at. Well, maybe right now you're working at Taco Bell. But he desires that those people at Taco Bell see what a man or a woman of God looks like. He said, but now, everybody say, but now.
But now.
Trying to see if you're awake. Everybody say, but now.
But now.
But now. One more time, but now.
But now.
But now. Okay. But now, your kingdom shall not continue. What a sad epitaph. Is that right? Your kingdom's not going to keep going. And he says this, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Is that cool? And listen to this. The Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. Folks, it's important we honor the word of God, what God tells us. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Saul's heart was far from God. He was more interested in being the king than he was in listening to his God. More interested in the nation of Israel than he was the God that set him there. Folks, this is a real story, and it's not just like in the past. This is even today. What's going on in your life? Are you leaving off the things? Is your heart distant from God because God's not able to get to you? Because you place other things before God. That's not honoring the Lord. Oh, we might say all the right words. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Bro, do you know Jesus? Yeah. But your heart can be way out there. Where God's saying, yeah. Looks like it. Smells like it. Tastes like it. But it ain't what I'm looking for. Is that right? God's looking at the heart. What are you after? What is it that's driving you? There's a place in Isaiah where there's these 12 virgins, I guess. I think it is. they tell the king, hey, we will dress, we'll put on our own clothing, we'll eat our own food, only just let us be called by your name. I'm going to say that again. There's a place where in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, where he says, we will wear our own clothing, we will eat our own food, but we want to be called by your name. Can you just cover us with that? See, that is not a place to be. We want to be clothed with his clothing, the Spirit of God. We want to be eating the food that he desires for us to eat, the Word of God. And then be called by his name. Can you say amen to that? See, there's a danger. Your heart needs to be connected to who God is in your life. This is not a, well, I go to church kind of thing anymore. It is a thing that you are connected to God by his Spirit so that you know God. Can you say amen to that? It's not just because you gave up prayer. You said, oh, God, come into my heart. And then you went off and did everything like you always do, like you like to. You don't change a thing. It's about getting to know who he is, what he desires in your life, and following that, doing his will. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. I want to go to Acts chapter 13, verse 21-22. Afterward, they desired a king. this is a nice. Afterward, they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. How many of you know that David waited just about 40 years to become king? He was anointed by Samuel pretty early in the reign of Saul. So he waited to become king. And when he had removed Saul, when he had removed Saul, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after what? My own heart. Which shall what? Fulfill all my will. Can I tell you, this is what God is looking for? He's looking for us to have a heart after God, that we will fulfill all of his will. God, what you say, I'll do it. Just tell me what. Just tell it to me. Don't run out and try to do everything on your own. Just don't try to do things without asking him, without hearing him say, this is what I have for you. There's a lot of things out there that look real good. They look real churchy. How many say amen? Lots of churchy things. See, we have grown up with churchy things where we have not listened to what God would have for us. God desires to speak his will into your life. And until he does, don't do anything. Go after him for his will for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It's time, folks. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 says this. We're going to eat here pretty soon. Look, it's only 11:30. You guys are already quiet. I'm going to get you up. Stand up. Go move around a little and sit back down. Is that okay? You guys are getting awful quiet in here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Is that okay? See, folks, these are still commands to us. These are still things that God says for us. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. For whose sake? The Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Can you see what government is for? Government is created by God, if you will. God sets people in there and he takes them out. And he sets them in and he takes them out. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Can you say amen? But God runs the government. Can you say amen to that? Does anybody know that? Do you know that in Psalm 100, look, check it out if you don't believe me. Psalm 103, go into Psalm 103 and it says the kingdom of God rules over all. All is what? All is all. The kingdom of God rules over all. But you see, God allows some people to get in there because sometimes his people need to be stirred up. Is that okay? So his people need to seek him. Is that okay? If my people will call by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Can you say amen to that? Listen, folks, how many like what's going on right now in the government? Okay, you don't have to, I'm not trying to do a political thing here, but let me just say this to you. What's going on in Jerusalem with what's going on, what, in our day that we're looking at today, we need to be very careful about it. Can you say amen to that? Be watchful in prayer. Watch in prayer because, you know, Jerusalem, they might be saying, hey, we're at peace. Hallelujah. Because the word says, they're going to call peace, peace, and great destruction comes. Can you say amen to that? I will say this to you. I do believe that there's some other things coming that we haven't even thought of. There's some things that are coming that man, we're not going to like. Can you say amen to that? You can't probably say, no, I'm not saying amen to that at all. Because we're not done. God's not done with this yet. Is that okay? God is after mankind to know him. His desire is that all men die. Is that right? Yeah. How do we know? For God so loved all the world that he gave his son. Yes. Doesn't matter if they're called Iranians or if they're called Americans or Mexicans or Texans or Arizonans, I guess. I don't know. Well, whatever, God desires that all would know him. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. And who does he use? Come on, y'all. He uses us. Uses us as vessels of his glory to touch the world. That we do what he tells us to do. First Peter 2. For so is the will of God. Can I start again, Terry? I'm sorry. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Is that okay? Praise God. You did good. Is that right? Hallelujah. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How are you going to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? By doing well. By listening to God. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Do you know what maliciousness is? Just evilness. It's just planning and saying things that you shouldn't be saying. Evil, the hurtful things. Maliciousness. Not using your liberty. Well, I'm a Christian. But that guy over there, I know I shouldn't say it, but when we say it, well, you know you shouldn't say it, so don't say it. Using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Servants of God. How many like that word, servant? How many know a servant is told what they're supposed to do? Yeah, we're servants. As servants of God, honor how many men? Just the ones that are by your house. Just the ones that are just honor, just the ones that you like, that you picked out for yourself. I like that one, this one, that one, that one. Just honor them. The rest, dishonor them. Say whatever you want against them. It doesn't say that. He says to honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Hallelujah. Hey. Fear God. Fear God. Amen? Amen. And then it says honor the king. I want to honor the king with every aspect of my life, whenever I can, however I can. I want to hear him. Somebody comes to me for money, I want to hear him. Somebody comes to me for something, I want to hear him. Somebody comes to me to ask me about a direction I need to go, I want to hear him. I want to hear what he has to say. And I will check with him. I will go to him. And if I don't hear anything and it needs, I don't let time or what we would call, well, time's running out. Now, you know what? God knows it. He knows that time might be running out for you, for your bills to be paid. He knows that. Just go to him. He says, ask me and I'll give it to you. Just go to him. And if you don't have it, just continue to go to him. Because he said that he will answer you in times of trouble. For your body, he's already made a provision for your body. Already. Hold to it. Allow him the honor of doing it himself. Would you like that? Would you? Do you know what I'm saying? Allow him the honor to where you said, hey, man, God healed me. Not, well, I went to the doctor and they gave me these pills and I feel better now. And so who's getting all the honor? The doctors. Allow him the honor that he deserves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You see, it's a matter of the heart. If there's anything that I realized when I was sitting there watching him fold the flag and saluting his widow, I realized that those things were coming out of my heart. The anointing was coming out of my heart. The compassion was coming out of my heart. And the honor was coming out of my heart. I realized that God was showing me what honor is supposed to be and how it's supposed to flow from the heart. Listen to this. Psalm 51:10 says this. Can we stand? Let's stand. This is the last verse. Look at it. I'm 15 minutes. I would say 19 minutes ahead so y'all can eat. Is that okay? How many are hungry? I hope somebody brought something good.
Oh, sorry. We have one. Please, in the house. So.
Look at this scripture. It says this. Create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes, folks, sometimes my spirit gets pushed down and weighed down and shoved down. And my wife tells me, why are you saying stuff like that? Why are you doing that? You know, I say, you know what? You're right. Shouldn't be doing that. Henry, you're a pastor. Shut up. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear that. Let me annoy God on my own. No. I said, God created me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Can you say, how many want that? How many want this spirit within you just to be right? Right, God, I want it right. God, make it right in me, Lord. God desires to right all the wrongs in your life if you'll only let him. If you'll only open your heart to him. Because he loves you dearly. Dearly he loves you. And he desires only the best for you. Even though the events you might be walking through, the whatever you might be navigating in your life, even those things don't seem to speak good things to you, they are all good. The Word of God says it this way. It says, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. And folks, I believe we're standing in a house full of folks that are called according to his purpose. You're here because God has a purpose for you. And he wants you to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches this morning. Honor the Lord with all of your substance, everything within you. What is it? We're only 98 cents worth of chemicals or something like that. Isn't that what they say? Does anybody know? $1.98 of chemicals what we are? Honor him with all $1.98 of you. Is that okay? Because because he does love you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, if we've not honored you in areas of our life, Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would forgive us. Yes. We know your forgiveness is good and it's real. Let us honor you, Father God, with our whole life, with our whole heart. Teach us to do that, Father, that we might be the glory of God in the earth as you have spoken. That's who we are. So, Father, we give you praise and glory and honor, God. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.